Thank you for listening to the Paradigm Podcast. Paradigm is a young adult ministry that exists to see lives changed by Jesus. For more information about Paradigm, go to ParadigmKC.com. We hope this message is inspiring and life-changing. Thanks for listening.
Well, hey, if you have a copy of God's Word, I want you to find the book of 1 John. We are continuing our series verse by verse through this little but powerful letter called 1 John. Well, if we've never met, I've got these three little girls, and man, it's been an amazing ride just raising them and my wife and I. But when I take a step back and I look at just that investment, it's pretty one-sided, y'all. And so think about it like this. If it was a business raising my kids, we are not efficient at all. And so what I mean by that is we're already through what's called baby boot camp. And you can imagine what that means. That's just kind of survival mode. So this little kid comes into the world and it is sacrifice upon sacrifice. I'm talking sleep. I didn't sleep for 4 years straight. My wife, 5 years straight. They're spitting up on you. This is literally what a child does. They eat, they sleep, and they poop. They are an economic vacuum. They cost money, they cost time, and then what happens, like even now the season that we're in, we're through the big sacrifice, so I think, but when I look at like what I've done this last week, our evenings are not efficient at all. I mean, it's almost like they take forever. So we sit at the table, and we eat dinner as a family, then we help our kids clean up their stuff, and it's mainly us cleaning those things up. And then we begin this process. It's kind of our routine where we read some books. If it's the weekend, we get to watch Barbie shows. It's kind of a big deal. And then we lay down, my wife and I, we lay down individually with each one of our daughters. And we listen to a worship song. We snuggle with them. Every one of my girls wants me to scratch their back and massage their back because it helps them sleep better is what they tell me. And then we pray over them. And by about 9 o'clock, my wife and I emerge from this event, if you will, and then we have some us time, so we think, because typically one of the kids comes strolling out, like, I can't sleep or whatever. And it's this exhausting investment. They're not making any money. They're not helping us out at all. It's not efficient if it was a business, but listen, it's totally worth it. And the reason why it's totally worth it is because my wife and I, we love these little girls so much. And you know this to be true. Like when you love something, like it causes you to sacrifice, and that's a good thing. Like love, it's going to cost you something. A lot of you know this. Like some of you, maybe you moved across the country for love. Others of you, maybe you go to Taco Bell more than you probably should for love, right? Or some of you, maybe you've watched too many rom-coms because you are in love. And we all know this to be true, that true love, it will involve us sacrificing something. And I start there tonight because when it comes to our relationship with God, this is a loving relationship. And in my relationship with my kids and that sacrifice that my wife and I make to show them that they are loved, that is a blurry picture at best at the love that God has for you and I. And so I want you just to understand this truth right now. That these three words, if you could grab a hold of them and they could begin to seep into your life, if they could begin to change the way you think, if you could grab a hold of these three words, I believe it would change everything. And here they are. You ready? God loves you. And I think some of us are listening to this right now. You're like, okay, I thought this was going to be like a new word, a new message. And maybe you've heard that because like in our culture, this version of Christianity where we hear about the love of God, it's kind of a popular thing. Like one of the most quoted verses in all of scripture is John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whomever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And we see this sign we see this held up on signs at football games and wrestling matches or basketball games, wherever. And it's this popular message. But are you getting that? Like, I think that we've all subscribed to that message, but it's really having a hard time being downloaded into our life, if you will. And we think that it's an issue of like maybe the hardware, the transmitter, the sender, that maybe there's an issue over there, like this video right now, it's having some glitches and you're thinking, what's going wrong? Maybe there were some issues with the video. No. This is all intentional to show you what it's like in your life when you have a misunderstanding of the profound truth that God loves you. That it's not the sender's issue. It's not the transmitter's issue. It's the receiver. And God wants you to get a hold of this message tonight, that he loves you. I've titled this message, Three Words That Change Everything. Three words that change everything. And here's what I want you to see tonight, that love, it sends. And then love, it sacrifices. And love secures. John, he's like this older guy that's writing this letter to this group of people in Ephesus. And we know that he's old because he just repeats himself a lot, you know? And so he's either really old and he's just repeating himself a lot, or he's a really good leader. Because really good leaders, they say fewer things more often so that people can know what matters most. And so John, like, he's revolving around this idea of love and loving people and God's love. And he's going to tell us some new things about God. Here's what he says, 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. He says, beloved. Now remember, we've said that this is a title that John uses, but we want to see it as a command. Be loved. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Like, in our culture, love is so misunderstood, right? Because you can love your mom, you can love your dog, and you can love tacos, right? And so there's got to be a distinguishment between those things. And so John is saying that this attribute of love that God displays, it is a love that is, the Greek word is agape. It's an unconditional, it's an unceasing love. That when John says that God is love, what he's saying is that love isn't just something that God does. Love is who God is, that God is the source of all love. And John, he's writing some profound things about this. Like, in this section of scripture, he uses love or some form of that word 27 times of the 46 times that he uses love in 1 John. And so he's telling us God is love. And he says in verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us. That word manifested basically means the light bulb went off and we understood it. And here's how he said that this became a reality in our lives. He says that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we may live through him. Point number one, if you're taking notes, you could write this down. Love sends. Love sends. That John, what he's saying is the way that we know that God is love, and the way that we know that God loves us, is that he sent his son, Jesus. Like God is the initiator of all relationships. Like, he's the source of love, and he is the initiator of every aspect of love. Like, God sending Jesus was making his intentions very clear towards you and me. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you're like, I don't know where we stand, right? Like maybe you were flirting with that person and they were flirting back, and it went on for a long period of time, only to find out like you were in the friend zone the whole time. Like, you're just a really nice person. And you were hoping to be more than just a really nice person, right? And you were confused because that person did not make their intentions clear. Listen, great leaders, they lead with clarity and they make their intentions clear. And when God sent Jesus to the world, he was making his intentions very clear that he desires a loving relationship with you and with me. Love, it initiates. Jesus is the clearest expression of how serious God is in our relationship. Jesus said this in John 17, 26. He said, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Like, what Jesus is saying is that I have come to this world. God sent Jesus on a rescue mission also to reveal God to humanity. That Jesus is the clearest expression of God's love. That love, it doesn't sit idly by waiting for you to move. Like, love, it initiates, it moves towards, it speaks to you even when you don't want to hear it. Like love, it continues to reveal itself to you even when it may be a little bit fuzzy to you. So when my wife was pregnant, I found out that kids in the womb, like they can begin to hear things at around 18 weeks. And so like when I learned about the development of a baby inside of a mother's womb, like it began to like blow my mind. And so they told us like, hey, you should read books and you should talk to that belly. And so it may seem a little bit crazy, but I'm literally on my knees and I'm talking to my wife's stomach. All right. Because I know that there's a person inside of there that can hear. And so while my child was still in darkness, I spoke words to her, and here's what I was saying. I love you. You're mine. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to see what you look like. I love you. And then that baby came, and so she was hearing these messages for weeks upon weeks, and then that baby comes into the world, and that voice that she heard while she was in darkness now has a face. But what they tell us is that kids, they can't see real good, and so they can only see about a foot, and everything's in black and white, and it's a little bit blurry. And so that voice that was speaking to her while she was in the darkness now has a face, but that face is fuzzy, and she was unable to reciprocate any sort of message of affection back towards her father. But that message, even though she couldn't see me, I was still saying, I love you. You're mine. I have a purpose for you. I can't wait to see what God does in your life. And listen, all of this is a picture of what God is doing. God sent his son Jesus to be the echo that would reverberate in the midst of your darkness, that you may not be able to see God's face, but God has made it clear to you, I love you, you're mine, I have a purpose for you. And some of you may be listening to this and you can hear that in the distance. Others of you may be listening to this and you've heard that message, but the face of God is still fuzzy to you, but God is saying to you, I love you, you're mine, I have a purpose for you, I want a relationship with you. And he will continue to make his love known to you until you can see clearly his face in the face of your heavenly Father. That God, he sent his son Jesus so that you would know that he loves you, that God loved you before you were ever formed. When you were one cell old, God was making his love known to you. That God's love for you is not contingent upon what happened this weekend. God's love for you is not contingent upon you being a good person. God loves you simply because he is love. And John, he's making this known tonight, and he says this in verse 10. He says, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You can circle that word propitiation, and you just write out to the side of your Bible or in your notes that propitiation is just a big Bible word that literally means a payment that satisfies. Like Jesus, he sacrificed his life to pay the bill that your sin occurred. And so when the scripture uses this word propitiation, it's just a payment that satisfies. Imagine that Jesus has this credit card that only he can carry, and you owe a debt of sin, and he's swiped the credit card to cover your issues. And it goes on in verse 11, beloved, if God loves us, we also ought to love one another. Point number two, if you're taking notes tonight, you could write this down, that love sacrifices. Love sacrifices. That John, he's telling us that Jesus made his love clearly known to us by the fact that he laid down his life for us. And listen, I know you're listening to this message right now, and you love sacrificial love, right? Like there was something in your heart that was just warm when Jack drifted off into the bottom of the North Atlantic, and he left Rose to live on the top because they were too heavy for both of them to sit up there. And so Jack sacrificed his life, right? Others of you, like you're listening to this and you love sacrificial love, like that Noah would just read the notebook to Allie, then they were old and you want to grow old. Somebody sacrificed their life like that. I mean, we all love sacrificial love. That Landon, he married Jamie, even though she had leukemia. And you were like, that's just so sweet. That Bruno Mars, he would take a grenade for people he loved. You know what I'm saying? We love sacrificial. Where did that come from? Like, where does that like moving in our heart for sacrificial love and that desire to have that type of love, where did that come from? It came from God, and its perfect picture of the perfect picture of sacrificial love is found in Jesus Christ. That he is the one that ultimately laid down his life so that you and I could have life. God paid the ultimate price. You think about the things that God loves, like this right here, the Bible. God takes the Bible. He takes it really serious. He didn't crucify his Bible. Or maybe the temple. The temple was like where God, you know, where he lived, so to speak, in the old days when the Bible was written. And you could have thought, like, well, maybe God was going to sacrifice the temple. God didn't crucify his temple. God took his son, Jesus, and he orchestrated a series of events where he would be born into a brutal empire called the Roman Empire, in which they were masters at crucifying people. He allowed his son to be falsely accused, falsely arrested, and then turned over to be crucified. That he allowed Jesus to be crucified, to be murdered, so that you and I would understand the depth of his love for us. God loves you. I told you earlier that he paid the bill of your sin, that he swiped a credit card that only he can carry. And the good news is that when he rose from the grave 3 days later, that's when he paid the bill. And he put a down payment on the future issues that you and I would have as well. That God has paid for our sin, past, present, and future, in the fact that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave. You can take that to the bank. That love, John is telling us, that love sacrifices. And listen, some of you, maybe you're hearing this and you're like, man, I don't feel that. Like, I've been isolated. I've been in the word, but it's really not speaking to me much. And I don't feel much of the love of God. Well, you need to go back to the cross. And so if you're not feeling the love of God, go back to the gospel and be rooted in that truth, because subjective feelings burn on the fuel of objective truth. John, he goes on in verse 12 and he says this: no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. That John is saying that the world sees God's love on display through us. He says this: by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Like, he's saying, you can know that you know God. And here he gives some things. He says, because he has given us his spirit. So that's one thing that we've got to look at. And in order for us to know that we know God, we've got to say, hey, is the spirit at work in us? Now, I think there's two camps, right? There's the people that overemphasize the spirit and they make it all about the Holy Spirit. And then there's people that underemphasize the spirit. And it's like, the spirit, who's that? And it's kind of this awkward thing. But listen, we are called to be filled with the Spirit of God. And two things that the Spirit of God does in us is he equips us, and then also he convicts us. And so if you're not being convicted by the Spirit of God, he may not be inside of you. If you can sin with no remorse, then you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you. And if you're not being equipped by the Spirit of God to be bold and to share your faith, then if you're not sharing your faith, I would question your faith. And he goes on in verse 14, he says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Again, he's telling us, here's how we know that we know Jesus, that you get hype about Jesus. Like, when was the last time you shared? I mean, even if it was just like you screenshot tonight's message and you forwarded it to somebody that you know in your life. Like, why not do that? That would be the easiest thing for you to do, to let people know you're kind of fired up about Jesus. And he goes on in verse 15, he says, whoever, I love this. Notice that it's not just a certain type of person that can be a Christian. Whoever wants to come. If you're rich, if you're poor, if you're African, if you're Mexican, if you're American, if you're Asian, it doesn't matter. Anyone can come to Christ. He says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed. You could circle those two words right there. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. That word known is this Greek word gnosko, and it means that you know by experience. It's not that you've understood intellectually, but it's that you know by experience. And that word belief is the Greek word pistuo. That means that you're all in. And so you've experienced the love of God, and you're all in. You're following Jesus. He says that you have known and you believe that God has loved you, and you understand this, that God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I wonder, have you experienced that kind of love? Like, I want you to think about love like as a good infection. And when you get an infection, like there should be some symptoms that you have that infection. Like we know this, right? It's really confusing when someone is asymptomatic, right? I don't know if you've been watching the news, but that's kind of the problem right now, is that they're saying that people that have COVID-19, there's some that show symptoms, but the big issue is that there are a lot of people that have the virus, but they're asymptomatic. And so it's confusing scientists and it's confusing the health community because there are people that are carrying this virus, but they have no symptoms of it. I wonder, are you an asymptomatic Christian? Like, have you been infected by this virus called God's love, but you're not showing any symptoms? And I would say that if you are an asymptomatic Christian, you should read the scriptures and you should wrestle and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. John says this, that when we understand the love of God, it begins to affect the way that we live. He goes on in verse 17. He says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I love that. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Point number three, and finally, if you're taking notes tonight, you could write this down, that love secures. That love secures. That John, what he's saying is that the only thing that will give you security on the day that you die is if you have embraced and received the love of Jesus Christ. Like when you have the love of God, when you have his approval, you don't have to fear anything, not even death itself. Like this is crazy. Like Christianity is the only faith that gives you true security in this life and the one to come. Because all of their belief systems, they're based upon your performance. But listen, this may be the best news that you could hear. Christianity is not about you. It's not about your ability to hold some sort of moral code or do some sort of eightfold path or be able to be this perfect little church-going boy or girl. It's not about you. That Christianity is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that's why we can have security. That Paul, he would write to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5, he would say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He would say just a few verses later that he that knew no sin, talking about Jesus, he became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Like what Paul is saying is that if you are in Christ, you're new and you have the righteousness of Jesus. And that's why we could have security. Like I think about this phrase that perfect love, it casts out all fear. And I think about all the things that we get afraid of in life and even in the life to come. And listen, Jesus, he's not trying to be roommates with your fears. Like he's not trying to be a gentleman towards your fears. It says here that he casts them out. He's like, fear, get out of here. And listen, if you fear rejection, if you fear failure, if you fear shame, or if you fear your past, Jesus is like, I'm done with that because I love you. That whatever fears you may be facing, though they may be like a tornado in your life, if you are in Christ, you are secure and you are safe. I don't know if you heard the news a couple of weeks ago, but kind of to add insult to injury, there have been tornadoes that were ripping through the South. And there was this one story that came on my news feed, and it was about this house in Mississippi, and they built this storm shelter. And so you can see the storm shelter right here. And what's crazy is that it's this concrete closet, and what you see all around it is that their house has been completely decimated by this tornado. But because they had this secure shelter, and because this family got inside of it, they were in the shelter. Though there was a tornado happening around them, they emerged unscathed. And that's a picture of the love of Christ. That whatever tornado may come your way, may it be a metaphorical tornado or a real one, if you are in Christ, this love has secured you. That you don't have to face insecurities or addiction or porn or anxiety or apathy or anything alone. If you're hidden in Christ, none of those things affect your standing with him because you have his righteousness. John, he finishes up in this section in verse 19. He says, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have heard from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That John is reminding us again that we are called to love people. But remember, you can't give away what you have not received. And so if you have no love for people, you probably have not received the love of God. And so here's the big question tonight. Do you know that you're loved? Like, I think some of us were listening to this again, and we've acknowledged that, but it hasn't really affected our life. I think others of us, we've theologically unpacked that, and if I asked you, hey, do you understand the love of God? You'd be like, oh yes, I understand the love of God. I would say, no, you don't. It's like God's love is unfathomable. As I was even preparing for this message, I was like, man, I don't even know how to explain this, you know? Like, we cannot comprehend the depth and the riches and the greatness and the gravity of God's love for us. We just simply embrace it as a gift. And so do you know that you're loved? God loves you. Not some future version of you. Not some perfected look or acting or whatever. He loves you right now. As soon as you're hearing this, as soon as you're watching this, he loves you right now. That Christianity is not us ascribing to the teaching of a moral teacher. Christianity is not us following some path and doing all of these right things or the code. Christianity is us responding to the news that God loves you. Have you responded to that? Like, his love is being poured out right now. Listen, your past doesn't have to define you. Your shame doesn't have to define you. Your orientation doesn't have to define you. Your family of origin does not have to define you. Your failures or your successes don't have to define you. Let God's love define you. He says, I love you. You're mine. I have a plan for you. I was laying down with my daughter just the other night, and I was just asking her, hey, what's daddy good at? And without a hesitation, she said, you're good at being a daddy. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, you're just good at being a daddy. You think about all the things that she could have said, right? You think about all the things that I do for her. You know, I'm a provider. If anybody busts in the house, I'm going to bust a cap in them. I'm the rubber protector, you know. I train her up. I instruct her. We have fun together. But all of those things, I mean, those are important things. But the number one thing that I want to be good at to that little girl is I want to be a good daddy. And God wants to do the same thing for you and me. See, God isn't the reflection of our earthly fathers. He's the perfection of that. And though God is a creator, and that's awesome, though he's a provider, and though he's the giver of common grace, though he's all of these things, listen, what God wants to be in your life is he wants to be your heavenly father. And so some of you, maybe you listen to this, you're like, man, how do I even begin that? I mean, what does that look like practically? Well, the way it looks practically is that you simply do kind of like what my kids do. You make a decision to acknowledge God as your father. You talk to him. You begin to build a relationship with him. You simply receive his love. You don't apologize for his love. You just embrace it. You don't say, I'm not worthy for his love. You just receive it, just like my kids do with me. And then when my kids, when they don't do what I've asked them to do, they come to me and say, Dad, I'm sorry. And they apologize or they repent. And we restore our relationship. And some of you, that's what you need to do. Like, God's love is becoming crystal clear to you right now. But there's some things in your life that you know that you've done. And we don't have to go down a long list of things. You know what those are. And you just simply just, you need to pray and say, God, I'm sorry that I've done these things. I don't want to minimize your sacrifice. And you say, God, would you be my father? and I want to follow you. And so I want to give you an opportunity just to do that right now. You can bow your head, close your eyes. There's nothing special about this prayer we're about to pray, but this is a moment. This is a defining moment in your life. Go ahead, bow your head, close your eyes. I just want to lead you in a prayer. This is a starting point for you. And won't you just repeat after me a prayer just like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Thank you for raising from the grave. God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done against you. Will you please forgive me? And will you be my Father forever? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, man, we would love to connect with you. Or maybe you have more questions about even what that looks like practically. You can text the word respond to the number that's going to pop up underneath me. And then others of us, we need to walk in this love. Like again, John's written this letter to people who have already believed in Jesus, but they're just somehow forgetting, they're having issues downloading this message into their life. And so they're not being marked by a freedom from fear, and they're not being marked by boldness to share about what Christ has done in their life. And so let us be a people that are free from fear, and let us be a people who boldly proclaim the goodness of God in love with a reckless abandon, because we have embraced the love of God. And let us be a people that understands that God initiated a loving relationship with us, that he sent his son Jesus. That let us be a people that understand that love sacrifices, that Jesus laid down his life, and so we can lay down our life for others. And let us be a people that walk in the freedom, because we understand the truth that love secures. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for tonight. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you just for this truth that's packed and this just with goodness, and it oozes just with affirmation and with identity. God, help us to be impacted greatly by these three simple words. God loves me. God, I pray that we would go out and change the world from this place of security and this place of identity. Your glory, in Christ's name. Amen.